Praise the Lord. I want to share a message with you today that I hope that you'll take some good notes today, and that this message will stick with you throughout the year. I believe it's something that will help you. A lot of it is very basic, and a lot of it is things that you know already. But it's Peter says, I'm stirring you up by putting you in remembrance. And so some of this will be putting you in remembrance. Some of it might be things that you have not heard or don't know before, or haven't heard before or don't know. But either way, I hope you'll take some notes and make some good notes today and keep this with you. I believe it's a message that you can use. Amen. How many of you like messages you can use? Amen. And it's something that you can use every day. Praise God. So we're going to talk about prayer today. Some of this will be a little bit of similar to what I shared Wednesday night, but most of you weren't here Wednesday night. And so as I was sharing that Wednesday, I thought, you know, this everybody needs to hear this. Amen. And so I want to incorporate some of what I shared Wednesday in this as well. So James chapter 5, that's where we'll start this morning. James 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's a lot in this verse here. We could talk about the first part of it, confessing our trespasses to one another, praying for one another that we may be healed. There's great power there in doing that. But the second part is what I want to focus on this morning. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The New Living Translation, the last part of that verse in the New Living says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So, now, how many of you, you want your prayers to have great power and you want your prayers to be able to produce wonderful results? Amen? Right? I mentioned it Wednesday night. We talk about football season. The playoffs are taking place right now. And in football, they have a play that's a desperation play. At the end of the game, you know, a team is behind. Maybe they're within a touchdown of tying the score, but they're like at the 50-yard line. There's 3 seconds left. There's time for one more play. And so the quarterback gets back in the shotgun formation. They snap him the ball, and the offensive line does the best job that they can to give him time to scramble back and heave the ball down the field into the end zone. And hopefully one of his teammates is going to be there. There's usually a crowd there because the defensive team knows that the only way they can lose the game is if the other team scores a touchdown. So they've got all their defenders back in the end zone ready to bat the ball away. But one time out of 1,000, this play works where the receiver catches the ball that the quarterback throws and they win the game. And that play is called a Hail Mary play. And in Catholicism, a Hail Mary is a prayer, right? So what's communicated, the thought that is communicated, perhaps unconsciously, is, okay, I'm just going to throw up a prayer, and there's 1 in 1,000 chance it'll be answered, but I'm just going to give it a shot. You know, that's the way a lot of Christians pray. But that's not the way we should pray. We should pray with certainty. We should pray effectively. We should pray with absolute confidence that God hears us and that God answers. That's the New Testament way to pray. That's the way that God has ordained for believers to be able to communicate with Him and to be able to receive heaven's resources, amen, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, amen. Not a Hail Mary once in a thousand chance, but a 100 out of a 100. Amen. Praise God. So we want to pray effective prayers, right? And so how we pray is very important. I don't mean our physical posture. Well, are we supposed to stand with our hands raised? Are we supposed to kneel? Are we supposed to lie prostrate? Doesn't matter. Whatever you're comfortable with. Amen. I'm not talking about our physical posture. I'm not talking about the volume of our voices are those things. What I'm talking about are principles that govern how we're to pray and principles that we need to understand and we need to apply if we want our prayers to be effective. So here we go. I would encourage you to. It's up to you, but I would encourage you to write these things down. So how are we to pray? Number one, and I've added a little bit to and modified the list as we went through this Wednesday night. How are we to pray? Number one, we're to pray in the name of Jesus. Number one, pray in the name of Jesus. In John 16, verse, somebody said, well, does it really matter? Well, yes, it does. Amen. John 16, 23, Jesus said, and in that day, now this is before he went to the cross, but he's telling the disciples what's going to happen, what's going to unfold. He's telling them, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And he's talking about after his resurrection, in that day after his resurrection, which is the day we're living in now, we're living in the new covenant. Amen. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Now, Is it wrong to worship Jesus, to speak to him, to communicate with him? It's absolutely right to do that. But prayer formally is not addressed to Jesus. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask who? The Father in my name. Ask the Father in my name. Ask the Father in my name. You got that? Ask the Father in my name. So prayer is addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus. So point number one, principle number one, pray in the name of Jesus. Because he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Verse 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you might receive. Hail Mary. Fling it up there. Close your eyes and just fling it and just see what something might happen. No. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So we pray in the name of Jesus, number one. Number two, we pray in faith. We pray in faith. Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus says this, and whatever things you ask in prayer, what's the next word? Believing. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Why did Jesus add that word, believing? Well, because it's necessary. Amen. Why didn't he just say, whatever things you ask in prayer, you will receive? Because believing is the determining factor as to whether we receive or not. We have to pray in faith. We have to believe. Amen? Somebody says, well, Pastor, that's where I struggle. I struggle in having faith. I struggle in believing that God actually hears and answers my prayer. That's why we need to go back to the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. That's why, and it's kind of overlapping these principles here, but that's why you need to find scriptures before you pray. I know Dad Hagin talked about he was on the road traveling, and one of his children, his wife wrote him and or called him and said, one of the kids is sick. And he said, well, he said, I want us, he said, we're going to agree in prayer. He said, but before we do, he said, I want us, we're going to read these scriptures first. He said, I could have quoted them. He said, but he said, I got my Bible out, looked at them with my eyes, read them out loud, read them to, what's he doing? He's feeding his faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So if you're wavering in faith, then feed your faith on the Word of God. Why? Because it's essential to pray in faith. It's essential to pray believing. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Amen? And then number three, the third thing, third way we're to pray, is we are to pray with fervency or with desire. In Mark 11, Jesus said, what things soever you desire. Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire when you pray. Amen. You have to pray with a desire. In James 5, 16 that we read earlier, it says the effective fervent prayer. Everybody say fervent prayer. the effective fervent prayer. Let's throw James 5:16 back up there, Kim. Thank you. Look at that. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. Of course, that'd be a righteous woman as well. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. So fervency is a necessary ingredient to our prayers as well, right? Amen. That means it's not just, oh, well, you know, guess I should pray about this and just kind of half-heartedly, but fervently with a desire. Amen. It's too bad. It's unfortunate that oftentimes that our circumstances are what fuels our desire or our fervency. And that shouldn't be the case. Amen. It shouldn't just be, oh, it's gotten really bad now. I better get serious about this. Well, why not get serious about it before it gets to that point? Why not get serious about it and be fervent? Amen. Praise God. And stir yourself up and pray a fervent prayer. Amen. Amen. Just be serious about it. Be have a desire. Amen. So pray with fervency or desire. And then the fourth thing, the fourth principle on how we're to pray is this. Pray in humility. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in faith. Pray with fervency or desire. And pray in humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Humble, notice that. Humble themselves and pray. Why did he connect those two together? Because, again, that's a necessary ingredient. We have to recognize that we need more than that, that we must have God's help. Amen. Amen. If you think you can figure it out on your own, if you think you can work it out on your own, then you're not going to be motivated to pray. But when you get to the point where you say, you know, I can't fix this on my own, I need God's help. I need God to intervene. I need God to intervene in this situation. I need God's power to heal my body. This medicine's just not getting it done. Nothing wrong with taking medicine. I'm not opposed to medicine, not opposed to doctors. But I need God's intervention. You know, the Bible talks about one of the kings of Israel, King Asa. The Bible says he became diseased in his feet, and he sought unto the physicians and not to the Lord. And the Bible says he died. Now, he didn't die simply because he sought the physicians, but he did die because he sought the physicians and not the Lord. Amen. It's not wrong to seek physicians. It's not wrong to go to the doctor, but trust God first. Amen. He wants to heal us. You know, he has to be invited, though. He has to be invited in. Amen. And so we recognize humility. Humility is not, and prayer is not saying, oh, I'm so unworthy, I'm so worthless, God. No, that's unbelief. That's not humility. But humility is recognizing, I need God's help. I need God's intervention. I must have God's help. I must have God's intervention, and I'm looking to Him to intervene. Amen? Pray in humility. Now, the fifth one, you might think, well, wait a minute. This one doesn't go with the last one, but they mesh perfectly together. The fifth one is this. Pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that these are some of the most outstanding verses in the Bible. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Again, going back to the Hail Mary, this is the total opposite of that. You know, the Hail Mary throw lacks confidence. It's just we're just wishing a miracle might happen here. But prayer ought to be with absolute confidence. And he says, this is the confidence, John writes here in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what's our confidence? He hears us. So if I meet the condition of asking according to His will, then I know He hears me, right? And if I know that He hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to say more about that in a later point here. But God wants us to pray with confidence. The confidence that He hears us, and the confidence that if we know He hears us, then we have it. Amen. That kind of confidence. Praise God. And then principle number 6 is this. Pray with boldness. Pray with boldness. And again, you might think, well, that's the opposite of humility. No, it's not. Humility is not the absence of boldness. Amen? And boldness is not the absence of humility. We can have them both. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly," he's talking about prayer, "let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." How does God want us to come before Him? He wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come with boldness. Hallelujah. He invites us to. He tells us to. He wants us to come boldly before Him. Hallelujah. Boldly to the... And thank God it's a throne of grace. Amen. His throne is a throne of grace. And again, He's talking about prayer. We can come before Him boldly that we may obtain mercy and that we may find. See, in prayer, we obtain things from God. In prayer, we find things from God that we need. Amen? We can obtain mercy and we can find grace to help us in our time of need or in the time of need. Praise God. We can pray that way for ourselves, and we can pray that in intercession as well for others. Hebrews 10:19 says this, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," how? By the blood of Jesus. We sang about the blood this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. I think we sang on two of God's favorite subjects this morning. I appreciate Reed and Amanda so much for leading us in that. We sang His love, His mercy endures forever. Anytime they sang that in the Bible, God showed up in a mighty way, in a powerful way. You are good, Lord, You are good, and Your love endures forever. As we sing and declare that, because that's who He is, then His presence shows up, He shows up. And then when we sing about the blood, we sang about it today, then that we're honoring the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," we can come into the presence of God, we can come before Him in prayer, and we have boldness to do it, not in our merit. See, because the devil would try to accuse you, the devil would try to condemn you and say, God won't hear your prayer, God won't answer your prayer, remember you did this, remember you said this, remember you messed up here. You say, well, I'm not coming in my own merit, I'm coming by the blood of Jesus. I'm entering boldly by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we can pray with boldness. Amen. And then number 7 is this. Number 7, we pray in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We could really teach and preach a message on each one of these points today. But there's a lot we can say about this, about praying. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And then in Jude, in the book of Jude, he says in verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith," praying how? In the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we're to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us in our praying. We need to learn to follow Him. We need to learn to get in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide us in our praying. He can guide us to scriptures that fit our situation. Amen. Oh, my goodness, I've had Him do that so many times. Amen. to where He'll give you a scripture that fits your situation. You're praying then according to the will of God and the Word of God when you do that. And then also this does involve and include praying in other tongues, which is such a powerful way to pray. In Romans 8, Paul writes and he says, "We know not for what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness, our inability." The weakness means our infirmity. The King James uses infirmity. The word infirmity there means inability to produce results. Well, in our own natural ability, we might not be able to produce the results, but thank God we've got the Holy Spirit living in us. We've got the Holy Spirit giving us utterance to pray, and we can pray out the perfect will of God when we know not what to pray for as we ought. Praise God. So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, and we need to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And then finally, principle number 8. Now, there's some other things I'm going to talk about. I'm not about finished with the message, but this part of it. Number 8, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. So let's review them as we touch this last one. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in faith. We pray with fervency or desire. We pray in humility. We pray with confidence. We pray with boldness. We pray in the Spirit, and we pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everybody say with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. With thanksgiving, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So when we pray, now, that all fits together, right? If we believe that God heard us, if we believe that He's answering, if we've prayed in faith and we believe that He's answering, then when we finish praying, we can go ahead and give Him thanks. We can go ahead and, Father, you know, Jesus did that. Jesus did that at the tomb of Lazarus. Did you know that? Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus and He says, "Father, thank you that you've heard me." Didn't He? Remember that? But even before He raised Lazarus, he didn't do that after, while they're unwrapping the grave clothes off Lazarus. He did it while Lazarus is still in the tomb dead. "Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know you hear me always." Oh, praise God. Well, when we pray, we can from that point, "Well, I need to keep praying and praying and praying." No, you need to stop praying and start thanking. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. So, now again, I like to use sports analogies. And so sometimes in sport, and it can happen in any sport, it can happen in team sports such as baseball or football or basketball or that other thing that they play up north on the ice. And that we just don't do too much of down here, ice hockey, or soccer. We do that a lot down here now. But our individual sports such as golf or tennis. But an athlete, sometimes they say, "Well, this player he's just developed some bad habits." You ever heard assessment being made of a player where he's just particularly in baseball, you see it where during the course of a long 162-game season that they play in Major League Baseball, I mean, a batter can develop some bad habits. Maybe he's pulling out, or maybe he's dipping his shoulder, or whatever. And a guy that's normally a 300 hitter, which is really great. That means you're hitting the ball three times out of ten, you get a base hit, and you get on base and get a hit, which is really good. And unless you got Bonnie's grandson pitching. Bonnie's grandson pitches left-handed and right-handed. Now, not at the same time. "Here, hit these two." But he can pitch left or right. So, if a team decides to say, "Hey, we're gonna put in a pinch hitter from the opposite side," then all he does is say, "Hey, hand me the other glove." And now he throws left-handed. So it's amazing. He's a beast. So, and we're believing for his healing and amen. Praise God. Yes. His name's Howard. So for his salvation and his healing. So believe with us for Howard, Bonnie's grandson Howard. God's working in him. Amen. But a batter can go into, and just through a minor bad habit, just picking up a minor bad habit, he can be a 300, a great hitter, and he can go into an 0-for-30 slump to where he's got 30 straight times he bats and he strikes out or he pops up or he hits a weak ground ball out, and he thinks, what's going on here? And he has to go back and look at film. He says, okay, and the batting coach works with him. And sometimes, like Yogi Berra used to say, 90% of baseball is half mental. Does that mean 45%, Yogi? Anyway, some of y'all get that on the way home, maybe. But 90% of baseball is half mental. So anyway, sometimes it is just mental, but sometimes they've developed a bad habit that they need to correct in their swing. And, you know, if we aren't careful, we can develop bad habits in prayer. That's why I'm refreshing us in these principles today. And if you'll go back, I hope you've made a list here that when you pray, okay, am I praying in faith? Am I praying in the name of Jesus? Am I praying with confidence? Amen? And here's another one. Sometimes we get out of, and this seems like it's very difficult for us to keep up with sometimes, this principle of believing that you receive when you pray. Believing that you receive when you pray. And that's a bad habit that we can fall into, that we don't really believe that we receive it when we pray. Amen? So again, there's different kinds of prayer. There's different rules that govern the different kinds of prayer. But one of the main kind, the prayer of faith, Mark 11:22, let's look at it. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast. Now Jesus is saying this on the heels of speaking to the fig tree. And he says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And they come by the next day and the fig tree is dried up from the roots, the Bible says. And so, you know, Peter and the disciples say, Shazam, golly, look at this, Jesus. And so Jesus turns it around and says, you have faith in God. He says, for assuredly, I said, he didn't say, don't try this at home. This happened because I'm the Son of God. He says, no, you can do this, guys. It'll work for you. Yeah. Amen. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And then verse 24, therefore, in other words, therefore means because of what I just said, now this will work. Because of what I just got through saying about faith and about your words, now you can apply it to prayer. The same principle, the same truth will work in prayer. And here's how it works in prayer. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, when you pray. So when I'm praying, what am I to do? Believe that you receive them. Them what? Them things I ask for. All right. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do I believe that I receive them? Yes, when I pray, I believe that I receive them. Amen. And you will have them, Jesus said. When will I have them? After I believe that I receive them. Amen. The have them, the manifestation will come after I believe I receive them. I believe I receive them when I pray. Amen. And then if I'll do that, I will have them after I believe that I receive them. Now, if I believe that I receive them, do I need to continue to pray about that matter? No. 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 I don't need to continue to pray about that matter. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. So would you ask people, if you prayed and you believe you received, would you, if someone comes up and says, hey, how's this, what's going on with this situation? Would you say, well, just keep praying for me? Would you? Huh? But we do, don't we? We do a lot of times. Again, a bad habit that we pick up. All right? No, if they ask you about that, just say, well, I believe that I've received it. If you want to agree with me in prayer, just thank God with me that it's done. That's how I know people mean well and just want to help and all that. And so just say, well, just, you know, thank God with me that it's done. Just praise God with me. Amen. Praise God with me that it's done. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 All right, do you get that? Yes. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about, doesn't the Bible say pray without ceasing? Well, yeah, it does, because you got something else coming up next week you're going to have to deal with. Right? Well, yeah, it does, because there's different kinds of prayer and different rules or principles govern different kinds of prayer. But you're talking about praying whatever things you desire when you pray, talking about your need, you believe you receive it. When? When you pray. When I pray, I believe that I receive it, and if I'll do that, then I shall have it. Amen? All right. Praise God. So, I wanted to cover that. And then along with that, again, the principle of asking according to God's will. All right. Again, back to 1 John 5:14. I told you we're going to say more about this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything, how? According to His will, He hears us. So, what is the determining factor as to whether or not God hears me when I pray? Asking according to His will. If I do that, if I ask according to His will, He hears me. All right? See, there's been a lot of prayers that have been prayed that as far as God's concerned, we got our mute button on. He's not even hearing that. Because if I ask according to His will, then, whoo, you know, He likes that. God loves it. When you go to Him, I'm jumping ahead of myself here, so let me back off. But so the key ingredient here is finding out and being convinced of His will in the matter. Right? If I'm asking according to His will, He hears me. Amen. So what have I got to do? My job, my responsibility, my part is to find out what His will is and ask, make sure I'm asking according to His will. So how am I going to discern that? How am I going to discern what His will is? Does it mean praying, if it be your will, at the end of every prayer? Well, how can you be certain about that? You can never be. Now, again, there is a time and place to pray, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. When you're dedicating your life to God, when you're making a decision and you say, well, I think I'd like to do this, but I want to make sure this is the Lord. And you pray, Lord, you know, guide me. You know, this is what I want, but I want Your will to be done. There's a place to pray that, like Jesus prayed, going to the cross. There was no other way except He die on the cross. And He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not my will, Your will be done. But you're praying about one of your needs. You're praying about something where the will of God should already be made known and revealed. Amen? So how do I do that? How do I discern that? Well, how can I have confidence in that? All right? God's Word is His will. We've said, you know this. God's Word is His will. And so what I do is I find scriptures, plural, not just one. I find scriptures that cover my situation. And I base my prayer on those scriptures. And when I do that, see, God loves that. God loves to hear His Word. I just had the overwhelming sense of that some time back. And I was praying, and I was praying the Word. And it just the Holy Spirit just spoke, said, I love to hear my Word. He said this. He inspired this. He wrote this. And when we bring it to Him in prayer, it delights His heart. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. So, I find scriptures and I base my prayer on those scriptures. And when I do that, then I can have confidence that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, again, look at verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have. Not going to get. Have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The Amplified says, granted us as our present possession. Yeah. I have it. By faith, I have it. By faith, it's mine. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. if I ask according to His will. So I find out what His will is. I go to the Word and I find scriptures that cover my situation and I bring those to Him in prayer and I know He's heard me. And if I know He's heard me, then I know I have it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let's talk about, as we wrap this up and read you and come on up, let's talk about for a moment here, praying for others. Praying for others. Have you, anybody ever heard anybody say this? Or maybe you've said it. Or maybe you've done it as well. Well, God, do whatever it takes to turn them around. Do whatever. You're concerned about a friend, about a loved one, a family member, and they're not walking with God or something's going on in their life. Well, Lord, just do whatever it takes to turn them around. Don't look at me and those blank looks. You've done that before. Or you've heard of that, right? You know what I'm talking about? Well, is that scriptural to pray that way? What are we talking about? We're talking about praying effectively, right? So to pray effectively, we've got to pray in line with the revelation of God's Word. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." Now, he's talking about it from the standpoint of Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's talking about in his teaching, but it can also apply in prayer. This is the way that we should pray. If you're praying for someone that they're not walking with God, they've gone astray, they need to get back on track with God, pray this. He says, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance." Does he say anything in there about pray that they be brought low? Pray that something bad happen to them so they'll finally reach the bottom and reach their limit and turn to God finally. Now, that might happen in a situation just because of the law of sowing and reaping. I mean, a person could, reap some serious consequences because of their actions, but you're not praying that on them. That's not your job to do that. It's not my job to do that. Amen? No. How do we pray? We pray that God grant them repentance. Father, I pray for so-and-so. I pray for my loved one. I pray, Father, that you would grant them repentance. And he goes on to say here, so that they may know the truth. Father, grant them repentance so that they would know the truth and that they would come to their senses. What happened with the prodigal son? The Bible says one day after all of his running around, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to his senses. He woke up. He says, wait a minute, it's better in Father's house. Amen? And God granted him repentance. He came back with a repentant heart. Amen. That God would grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So again, we don't pray for the Lord to bring a person down. Lord, just strip away everything from them. No, we're asking God to do something He doesn't do. We're asking God to do something that the enemy does. Jesus said it's Satan that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Amen. So it's possible if we pray that way, God bring them down, God strip away. It's possible that we're giving Satan license to work in that person's life. And I don't know about you, I don't want to do that. Amen? Now, there's another scripture, there's another side of this where Paul talks about someone that in the church that was continually sinning and was unrepentant and just bold about it and not, they'd been confronted with the Word and they said, I don't care what the Word says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to live this way. And it was a very grievous sin. Paul said, all right, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the Spirit may be saved. That's the only thing close or where anybody would get anything like that. But turn them over to Satan. And that's an extreme case. That's an extreme case. This was after they had been prayed for, after they'd been confronted over and over and over again. Paul says, all right, turn them over to Satan. Now again, not God. God's not going to destroy their flesh. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, we see Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians, and he said, okay, the person has repented, so now, receive him back. That's what it took. That guy, all of a sudden, he realized he's out there on his own. He's not under the covering of that local congregation anymore. He's out there on his own, and things started getting rough, and he repented. Amen. All right. But we don't pray that on people. We pray that God grant them repentance. Amen. All right. Now, praise God. Let's look at another thing here. But we want to pray. We want to pray that God grant them repentance. We want to pray that they would come to their senses, and we want to pray that they would escape, because when they do, they can escape that snare of the devil. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's look at another case in praying for fellow believers. This is not necessarily someone that's in sin or walking away from God. This could be someone that's in a faith fight. They're in a faith battle. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. How'd you pray, Jesus? I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now again, there's some misunderstanding here in this passage that I hope to shed some light on right now. It says here in the New King James, Satan has asked for you. You mean as in asking permission from the Lord to attack Peter? As in the way some people interpret the book of Job? No. No. Satan asking for Peter is not Satan going up to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I see that you have Peter protected. Would you please lift your protection? I want to attack him. See, a lot of people interpret the book of Job like that, and that's inaccurate. What brought the hedge down for Job? Job says, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. All right? So what's going on here? The King James Version, if we'll look at it, look at this. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to get at you. It's not that he's asking God for permission to get at you. And it's not that God has to say, well, yeah, I'll give it to you. Well, no, in this case, no. No, Satan wants to get at you. And it's not up to God. Amen? Are you listening? No. He says, Satan has desired you that he may to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I like the way the message puts it. Let's read it in the message. Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me like chaff from wheat. That was Satan's goal, to try to separate the disciples from Jesus. And Satan, in your trial and your test of faith and your fight of faith, Satan wants to separate you from Jesus. Satan wants to tell you it's not working. God's word is not working. Your prayer is not working. You know, and get you to blame God and get you to give up and get you and separate you from Jesus. Satan has tried his best to separate not just Peter, but all of you from me like chaff from wheat. And temporarily he was successful, because Mark 14:50 says right after that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Right? When Jesus was alone, when he was crucified, all right? And so temporarily it worked, but the point is here, back in verse 32 of the in the King James, but I prayed for you. Let's go back to the King James. Luke 22:32, Mike, just up a few verses. There we go. Yeah. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Amen. This is one of the best ways to pray for others. This is one of the best ways to pray for fellow believers that maybe they're wavering in their faith. Maybe they're facing a severe situation. They're endeavoring to stand in faith and believe God. Well, pray for them that their faith fail not. Amen. Pray for them that their faith fail not. I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Amen. Praise God. So let's do that for one another. Amen. We're talking about how to pray effectively. You know, that goes beyond just say, oh, God bless them. You know, that goes beyond just putting on Facebook, praying, you know, which is to kind of salve our conscience, you know. Well, really do it, okay? Amen. And pray effectively. Pray the Word. Amen. Praise God. And here's another one. praying for your pastor. How about that one? Amen. Paul asked the believers to pray for him in a number of passages in the Bible. Romans 15:30, he talks about it. He asks the Romans to pray for him. Philippians 1:19, he says, I know you're praying for me, and this is going to turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Their prayer, the Philippians' prayer for Paul, was bringing a supply of the Spirit. Amen. I'd appreciate your prayers for me to bring a supply of the Spirit. Amen. In Colossians 4, verse 3, he talks about it. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. In Philemon, verse 22, he talks about it. And then here in this scripture that you know, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, that we've already looked at today, but we'll look at it again in this context. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then Paul says in verse 19, and for me. And for me. So I want to ask you to pray for me. Amen. What can we pray for you, Pastor? Pray, like they said for Paul. He says, pray that utterance may be given to me. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. Praise God. You know, it's one thing to have things, and I sense utterance today. Praise God. But it's one thing to have things in your heart to share. It's quite another thing to be able to communicate those things, for those things to be able to come out in the way that you have them in your heart. Amen. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. When it works, it's the Holy Spirit giving utterance. Amen. And it's powerful. So pray for me that way. Pray that utterance may be given to me. You know, again, it's one thing to have stuff in your heart to share, but you have to have utterance to say it. Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. I really had a problem praying for people that I considered, you know, above me spiritually, people like Dad Hagen and my pastor years ago. I thought, well, I need them praying for me. They're so far, you know, ahead of me. But it's not that way. I need your prayers. And I just want to take this opportunity today to remind you of that. Pray for me. Pray that utterance may be given to me. Amen. And then he says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that God would give me boldness. Amen. Not timidly or not half-heartedly, but boldly. Boldly proclaim. Amen. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Okay. But let me pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. And I pray especially, Father, according to this word that Jesus spoke concerning Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Father, I pray for those in this room right now that are believing you. They're standing in faith, believing for healing. They're standing in faith, believing for financial turnaround. They're standing in faith, believing for their family. That whatever the need is, whatever the situation, Father, I pray and I set myself in agreement right now. And Father, I pray for them that their faith fail not. Lord, with many things that we've asked you about, we don't need just to keep asking and asking and asking. We believe that you've heard us, and we just make that adjustment right now in the name of Jesus. We believe you heard us when we prayed, and we believe that you're working. And so we stand in faith, and we thank you for the answer. We thank you, Lord. We believe that we receive it. And Jesus, you said we shall have it. So we say we shall have it. We say it's ours in the name of Jesus. And I set myself in agreement right now, Father. And I pray for my brothers and sisters right now that their faith fail not in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We agree in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. You said that when we pray, Lord, that tremendous power is made available, dynamic in its working. And we believe, Lord, that that power is working right now, this very moment, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Your power is released. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're good in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we end this service, you can be seated. You can sit back down. And maybe there's somebody in here or maybe you're joining us on YouTube and you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart, the greatest prayer, the most important prayer that you can ever pray.